Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an Unexpected Podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lane.
And today we're back with some major, major news, and we're talking Rings of Gloriness. Where was I going with that?
Yes, we are.
Where was I?
About Smeagol back in Middle Earth, aren't we, precious? Yes, we are.
See, we psyched him out.
The glorious... Yeah, the glorious return. Yeah, they thought that we were going to be talking more Rings of Power, and now they're probably going to be pretty excited because we're talking about getting the band back together. You know,
let's go,
which
baby.
Which is a cool thing. Yeah, so we've been having Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth, Tolkien announcements left and right. It's crazy. Rings of Power season 2, the trailer just came out. They recently deleted their old Instagram account and made a brand new one. So there's that. You know, they're starting afresh. And I remember, dude, last time we were recording, like last fall,
yeah,
these rumors were out there. I want to say even like between Rings of Power and like our Silmarillion beginning that we got into, this was rumored. It was all out there. They're like, oh, Peter Jackson's going to do more movies. Peter Jackson's going to produce. They're going to make more films. They're going to do a Gollum. A young Aragorn and a Gandalf standalone. They're going to expand the universe. We were calling it Middle Earth Cinematic Universe. And then that, funnily enough, that like the MECU that popped up all over the place. I don't know if you noticed that, but like I'm pretty sure we might have coined that term. I mean, it's like a genius term, but I think we might have said it first, and it's just taken off, which is cool. You know, we'll take it.
But
the rumors kind of died down for a little, and then what was this? It was like last week.
Yeah, this was 8 days ago. This is probably 7 days ago. Yeah.
Okay.
So
there was an article. I mean, yeah, there was an article that came out, and they just said Peter Jackson's producing, Andy Serkis is directing, and he's going to play Gollum. It's going to be at least one film. I think I saw somewhere too that now they're saying it's going to be like a 2-film arc.
Well, sweet. Which, I mean, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry. That's his style, yeah, man. That's PJ's style. Yeah. So
it is his style. Well, so the thing too that I have two scenarios in my mind. One in which I'm more excited than the other. So I've been thinking about this a lot, and I don't want to sound like I'm not going to sound like a Debbie Downer, because there's one way that I think would make more fans happy, and another way that would just make Gollum fans happy, which I think we have to admit is probably one of the most sub niches of all Middle Earth. I think anyway. I mean, you've got like Gandalf and Frodo and Bilbo and Aragorn, like those camps that are huge, right? Like, oh, no, my favorite's Aragorn. No, my favorite's Aragorn. No, I'm Gandalf. No, I get to be Gandalf. Like, there, it's not many kids who are going like, no, I'm Gollum. Well, we can be both. Though you be Gollum, I be Smeagol. Okay, we're both happy. Like, that's not most kids.
Right.
And so I think the fandom, like the dark side is probably, I don't know, like 20-30% of the fandom. There's a big chunk of people who love the Nazgul. They love Sauron. They love all the... the fell beasts, the ring race, the baddies, they think it's so, the orcs, the Uruk-hai, they think it's awesome. Like, they're into it. They're down. Even Saruman falls into that camp. But, like, the subset of that is definitely, like, the smallest niche, I think, is probably Gollum and Smeagol. So, anyway, there, I think there's a way that they can do it, and what they're talking about is incorporating all these other people that come into Gollum's path. They're talking about the Hunt for Gollum, which is the working title right now, which is, oddly enough, I know I'm all over the place, oddly enough, was a really good fan film way back in, like, the late aughts, I think, like, 2000, when we were in college, is when this fan film was made. The Hunt for Gollum, it was made alongside with different people made it, but around the same time as Born of Hope, which was another really great fan film about Arathorn and Gilraine, Aragorn's parents, and then his birth and everything. So they were really, really, especially for the time, super well made. But I think there's even some kind of mention about how they had to, like, secure the rights for the title name or something, because even though it's, like, referred to in the Lord of the Rings as the Hunt for Gollum in the like the book itself, I think that they had, that fan film had used that title and, like, had some kind of, I don't know if they had to get, like, say, like, hey, here's a couple bucks, we're gonna use it, okay, no problem. But yeah, so anyway, I think obviously that'll be a part of the film or the two film arc, but there's so many other things that they were talking about, the other characters that come across his path, other things that he could do, where you could incorporate elves and dwarves and men and orcs and Shelob and all these different things that we could explore through Middle-earth through like using almost Gollum as a vehicle. So the cool thing is this early stages, right? It's, I think there's, what are they saying, 2026? So a year and a half, which again, I'm thinking it would be the end of 2026. So more like 2.5 years. But they're in the preliminary stages right now. They're like doing script writing. I think Philippa Boyens is on board as well. I think she's doing part of the writing, if not all the writing. So that's good. There's continuity there. And so early stages script writing. I'm guessing they'll probably finish that up this year, start filming at the beginning of next year. So, because someone was like, that seems like a fast turnaround. But really, if you think about where they are in the process, I'm sure they've already, like, started contacting people about, go ahead.
Bro, okay. you know why they can turn this around so quick? Mm-hmm. Because the world, it's already there. They've got the workshops, the people, they got the right people, they're bringing them back. They can get this back and rolling.
Infrastructure.
Was it just 10 years ago, The Hobbit? Wasn't that, when was it? I forget when it came out exactly, but we're in, I think around 10 some years ago.
Yeah, it was 12, 13, and 14. Yes.
Yeah, so 14 would be, so yeah, yep. 10 years ago was the last time they finished up. So whatever, you know, we're diving back into it. But hear me out on this, okay?
Yeah.
How is it that I am more, I mean, one, it has to do with the people who are involved, Andy Serkis being involved, bringing back everybody, get them all back. And the way this bad boy starts, I don't know, Council of Elrond. Like, you sit there and they tell the tale, right? They're talking. Mm-hmm. I got it right here. I actually have the text, kind of, some of it anyways, pulled up here from when they start talking about 17 years ago. I soon became aware that the spies of many sorts, even beasts and birds, were gathered around the Shire, and my fear grew. And he calls help from the Dúnedain, and their watch was doubled, I opened my heart to Aragorn, the heir of Isildur, right? And I, said Aragorn, counseled that we should hunt for Gollum.
Yeah.
Too late, though it may seem, and since it seemed fit that Isildur's heir should labor to repair Isildur's fault, I went with Gandalf on the long, hopeless search. Mm-hmm. So this is what they're saying during the council of Elrond. Mm-hmm. So let's go, dog. Like, I mean, you talk about extended edition, baby. This is just an extended council session, and they're going to go back and tell this tale. God.
Yes. And our two favorite characters, like, it being focused solely on the two of them and their backstory, which is pretty amazing. So, yeah, I think that would be a great, I mean, I don't know if you could make, you probably could make a full movie on just that hunt, for sure. And because then the elves get involved, right, too, and Gollum is kind of, like, captured and held for a while, so you could totally do that. And it is exciting. Right. The only thing, because the one thing I started thinking about too is, I'm like, gosh dang, dude, is Viggo, like, could you cast Viggo? Could you get, Ian McKellen back? Oh. Like, do you do the de-aging stuff that they can do now? Is that going to look too, is that going to look bad? Like, I have all these things where I'm excited about it, but I'm also super nervous that I don't want it to feel like, well, Viggo Mortensen agreed to do it. I mean, I think he probably would, but like, he definitely is not averse to turning down stuff that he feels isn't, like,
they're gonna, for instance,
they tried writing him into The Hobbit and he was like, I'm not doing that. He's not in the book. And they're like, okay, yeah, you're right. But this is something that actually happened. So, like, was it something he'd be down to return for? I hope so. Like, would they work Orlando Bloom in and get Legolas in there? That'd be awesome. Sure. I'd be down for that.
By the time, they seem to know each other. They have this relationship. It fits. Yeah,
for sure.
Here's the thing. The de-aging stuff, I'm cool with it. I cannot believe. So, I got to see Luke Skywalker show back up.
Yeah.
In The Mandalorian at the end, saves the day. They de-aged him. They brought in an even older. So the de-aging process there is much more significant in terms of Mark Hamill, who's in his 60s, and they went back to like a young 20 something Luke, and they still brought him in. They did all the different stuff, and it still felt really freaking good, and the fandom lost it. So I personally think that if you brought Viggo in, he wanted to do it. If you do a combination, right? A combination of work, and especially if you could show them at the council in any way. I don't know
talking about it, crazy.
Like older, you have an older version of them there, kind of reflecting on it, or I don't know, because that's when the story sort of starts.
That would be wild. Because and I'm thinking too, you'd only have to really de-age Viggo too. You wouldn't have to do anything to Ian McKellen. Like, at all.
No.
I mean, he would be, it's like, could he make the trip down there? Could he, like, still, is he still physically, I mean, then you have all kinds of tricks, right? You would only need him for, like, the acting parts. You wouldn't need him for the physical stuff. I think in The Hobbit, he didn't do a lot of, like, the fighting and things like that. You get a body double, no big deal, fight stunt double, that's no problem. So, that would be, I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm sure maybe that they're trying to fast track this too, so that they can make that happen. Because Ian McKellen was notorious for saying, I want to go to Middle Earth. I want to play Gandalf one more time. Yeah, so the really exciting thing too, I think, is that like PJ is finally taking the producer role. He's finally stepping back. You know, they tried it with Guillermo del Toro, and there was all that like heartbreak where whatever happened. We still don't exactly know. There's like two sides of the story, whether it really was all the studio or whether it was like they didn't like what Guillermo del Toro was doing. And they kind of like gave him the boot. And then because he talks about it, he said it's the saddest thing he's ever done, like ever happened to him. He says losing that movie was, he said he felt like he had lost like a child or something is how he put it, which seems kind of extreme, but you know, maybe for him it is. But, you know, Andy Serkis was like a unit director on, like a second unit director on The Hobbit. So he's done this before. Like he filmed a lot of that stuff in the Shire when, at the beginning of An Unexpected Journey. I think he did some other stuff too. So he's got experience as a director, especially with working with PJ, which is really cool. It would also just be awesome to see him direct stuff that he's acting in as Gollum. I don't think he's ever done that before. I think that would be like a first for him. I mean, he's incredible, right? Like there's nothing the dude can do wrong. Like he's amazing. He phenomenal. Might honestly be one of the most underrated actors in film and TV, like of all time. Like maybe of all time.
Yeah, of all time. You can't rank him high enough in my book. I think he's so multi-talented, and he has so many different, he just brings so much. He brings so much energy and emotion to the screen. It's wild.
And he feels like one of those old school, like old-timey, like early film actors who like can play these crazy outrageous parts. Like I still remember him in King Kong. In King Kong, he's not only did he do the motion capture for King Kong, but like he was that captain as well, or that cook, the cook on the ship or whatever. And like, he was in Tintin, with Peter Jackson as well. So he's done all these different, he's Caesar in, the Planet of the Apes, movies. He's done so much stuff and he's pushed that technology of motion capture being like actual acting as well, like bringing the both together. Before it wasn't even a thing. Like you had motion capture people and then you had actors who brought those characters to life and he like blended the two. So again, super exciting. The only thing that makes me nervous is if they lean way too heavy into the Gollum Smeagol stuff. Like, cause my fear is it's going to be like the way I would be. I'm still going to go watch it. I'm still going to love it.
Yeah.
It's still going to be amazing, I think. I feel like they're going to avoid the pitfalls that happened with The Hobbit. I don't think they're going to try to push any kind of crazy 3D or like wild technology or like using CGI when they could use more practical effects. I think they're going to return to that or blend it a little bit better. I think they will be very like aware of that. But my one fear is like it's going to feel like the what's the word? The prologue for Return of the King, just for like 3 hours. Like that's my one fear is like if we get too it's just like how Smeagol becomes Gollum. Like if it's too much of that, I'm just going to be like, oh my gosh, dude. Because I love Smeagol and Gollum, but I don't love him enough to sit there and watch mostly him for 3 hours. I really think he does best for me, and I think probably most fans, like when he's coupled with somebody else or he's interacting with somebody else. We can have his whole like inner debates with the Smeagol Gollum conversations. That's funny. That's great. It's, again, it also like is pretty... can make you pretty self-reflective and be like, wow, I have a Smeagol and a Gollum side too. Like this is almost kind of like painful to watch because everyone can relate to having an angel and a demon on your shoulder and all that stuff. But like, I hope they really do a good job of incorporating other characters and other places within the world. So, yeah.
So hear me out. Here's my major hope for this.
Yeah.
When I read this and you think about the fact that this could be the last time maybe that we have a chance, and I don't know why they would not do it, to unite and bring back so many people. Okay,
yeah.
On this hunt, Gandalf he'll go with Aragorn. He'll deviate. He'll go see Denethor, right? And he'll go like so. Mm-hmm. You've got John Noble, who could be back in this bad boy. Fair. It goes to Gondor along the way.
Yeah,
and Aragorn continues the hunt. Okay, so like all of that goes down, you could bring all these different people back. You could actually, if you started with the council and you reflected on this in some way, you could have a reunion with the hobbits. You could have everybody there. You could, legit like set that up, bring everybody back for a cool cameo, maybe in the beginning. And if this is a movie, right? I think they're doing a movie.
Yes.
Have them be a part of that, even for a small bit. It's a reunion for these people.
It's a great
idea.
They
would love to come back and do that. And if you had Denethor in there, maybe Faramir, Sean Bean, bring him back. I mean, jeezy cow, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
More Boromir.
Back. Yeah.
It's possible that they're out on a. We don't know. Like, the details on that are. Again, we just have. I'm trying to pull up again here the text. But yeah, it says that Gandalf turns aside and goes to Gondor. Aragorn continues the hunt by himself. In Gondor, Gandalf finds Isildur's scroll detailing the ring, and then he leaves. At once I took my leave of Denethor, but even as I went northward, messages came to me out of Lorien that Aragorn had passed that way and that he had found the creature called Gollum. So, you know, it's just where they go and how you can follow
and bring back Galadriel too. Yeah.
Dude, why not? Yeah. Why wouldn't you bring something that is an extended edition? Mm-hmm. That's what the extended edition.
It's like a deleted scene because we see that part. We see him go to the archives, and it's like, well, right before he left Aragorn.
Exactly.
I mean, that's something I think a lot of people who just watch the movies have no idea that's 17 years that takes place between, you know, him. Gandalf saying keep it secret, keep it safe, and to the time that he comes back after they've been drinking at the dragon. So yeah, this would be a way to illuminate that. I love your idea too of it starting at the council and it being told in like flashback and like a tale.
Arwen, Liv Tyler, bring her, like there maybe there's a pre-council sort of thing.
For sure you could totally do that.
The feels or they cut back and forth between Gandalf telling this and the council members being there around asking questions or, you know, maybe taking liberties with that a little bit. I don't know. That might be scary there. Anytime we say taking liberties,
you could do it a right way for sure. No, I like that idea a lot because then you tie it right back into the films too. A moment that we know because, you know, I mean, there's the brilliant thing about the way the council was shot too is there's like a couple moments where there's just like silence. Like there was in the books. And you're like, oh, dude, you can tell that more time passed in that council than what you saw. Like that's the cool feeling that you get from that. Because, I mean, the council scene in the movies. Again, nothing like the books, right? But it's a good, like, was it like 5-10 minutes long? It's a longer extended scene anyway, and it really feels like they are there for hours, you know. So
right,
yeah,
yeah, for sure. And I remember when we covered it in the podcast. I mean, we took part one and part two of the council. It was just so thick, and there were so many stories being told. And it's just like Gandalf when you start that, and I've got the text here in front of me. He says, "From the first, my heart misgave against all reason."
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
"New," said Gandalf, "and I desired to know how this thing came to Gollum, and how he had possessed it. So I set a watch for him, guessing that he would ere long come forth from his darkness to seek for his treasure. He came, but he escaped and was not found." I mean, like, it's just, it goes on for paragraphs. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more paragraphs where he's talking about this, and then there's even more once he leaves Aragorn. So, like, there's tons there that he alludes to over the course of time. That you could, who did he, you know, originally setting up the watch? I mean, who's all watching? Like, what skirmishes do they get in along the way? What fights take place? What things were discovered? How does Gandalf talk to Aragorn and talk about Isildur and reference these various, you know, things, or reference the hobbits and Bilbo and Frodo? I mean, it's just, it would bring back so many cool things. I know, again, it's like going to be heavily centered on Gollum and, you know, his whole escape, running around, us getting into more. I mean, think about that too. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to show or what all they're going to do, but Gollum goes. He gets around. He gets around.
He does. I think that's kind of what they were talking about too. There's a couple quotes. You want me to read those from? From Peter Jackson. Yeah. So they're really, really good. This was actually, I think, Fellowship of Fans posted this, and I want to say, I think Mike shared in our long expected golf outing
chat
combo that we have. Yeah, that's the word. So he says, "The Gollum Smeagol character has always fascinated me because Gollum reflects the worst of human nature, whilst his Smeagol side is arguably quite sympathetic. I think he connects with readers and film audiences alike because there's a little bit of both of them in all of us. We really want to explore his backstory and delve into those parts of his journey we didn't have time to cover in the earlier films. It's too soon to know who will cross his path, but suffice to say, we will take our lead from Professor Tolkien." So that's awesome. Then he's talking about Andy Serkis. He says, "Andy was a joy to work with, directing second unit on The Hobbit. He has the energy and imagination, and most importantly, an inherent understanding of the world of the story that is needed to step back into Middle Earth. We have collaborated on 8 films together, and each time it has been a fantastic experience. There's no one in this earth better equipped to tackle Gollum's story than Andy." So Yeah.
Dang.
Pretty cool.
Well, pretty I'm cool. telling you, man, this could, it opens up all these different things to bring us into this universe and to do really cool stuff. So yeah. I'm extremely excited for it because there's potential to have the reunion, to bring back familiar faces and explore things that we've never explored before. And then from there, it paves the way to kind of go back and do prequel stuff. Go. I mean, we've got the War of the Rohirrim, right? They could expand this into their own little, you know, verse. And I mean, God dang, once who knows what they could do with the hobbits, what they could do. There's a lot of potential. I mean, honestly.
I really hope that they do it the way that you're thinking. Because that, to me, you explained that, dude. Now it's like that would be such a cool way to do it, where you could.
They would sell out every theater.
Oh,
everywhere.
It wouldn't even be. And I think if you could get people to, like the actors, if you could get them to buy into it in the same way they did Lord of the Rings, yeah it would be.
Dude, even if you told. I'm telling you, I know, and you can hear, like, oh my gosh, when Billy Boyd goes around and he talks about. He and Dom are talking about just the passion they had for their project, and they talk about the passion everybody else had for these things. We've interviewed some people who worked on those projects. Yep. It's like they legit, everyone loved and wanted to make this the most awesome thing, that they wanted to pour everything they had into it. And they all say it. They all have this surreal experience around it, and there's no reason to think that they wouldn't all want to come back and hey, let's go, like, light the beacons, do it again, man.
It would be awesome. Almost using Gollum as a reason to get everybody back together. I'm down for that.
Like, how crazy is
that? You said that's, for me, that is, and you envisioned it even better than I could have. That's like, that's best case scenario. That's
be crazy.
My fear is, like, the worst case scenario would be if it literally is like, we're just going to follow Gollum from the time he became Gollum to, and then we just kind of get like a string of misadventures, and it's a little too, like,
I mean,
it, almost like the, I know, but
I'm saying, I'm about to make a funny here, which is like, they already know from the Gollum video game that
that's like, kind of what I'm thinking. I'm like,
they can't do, you're thinking of the Gollum video game, and I'm like,
please,
someone please show, like, Peter Jackson that and say, that's a bad idea. If you were thinking that, think you're thinking that, but Jesus.
Show him that video game trailer, because that's all you need to know. And we still need to get with Joe Lewis, who bought that game and played through it.
Oh my God.
I don't know if he's ever going to recover from it, honestly. But
that's why we haven't seen him since.
That's sort of been my fear, is like when they announced that it was going to start with Gollum, because I know that was always like a possibility, right? That they said young Aragorn, a Gandalf standalone, or a Gollum thing. It's just those three for whatever reason. And I was like, gosh, please don't make it just like a documentary of just following Gollum around. It's got to be something more.
Do you know?
Yeah,
I'm going to cut these up, and I honest to God hope that, let me take this off here, because I want to speak directly to Peter Jackson here for just a second, if that's okay.
Please.
That crazy, when he turns this on and says, this is a crazy man, don't you ever try to talk to me again, young man. I would
say
to
Peter Jackson.
Sir, absolutely. I will shut her down, man. Whatever you say, sir. But I just want to say quickly that I get all excited. I get way more, if you listen to the previous episode where we're talking about Rings of Power, I can't believe I'm saying it in the same breath. As Peter Jackson, they ghosted this man, and I love him, and I don't.
They did ghost him.
They ghosted him.
Oh my God!
This is, we should title, instead of, you know, I mean, this should just call this the Revenge of PJ. And anyway, I'm kidding. But if I could speak to him, I would just want to pitch these ideas about the council, as we just mentioned, you know, and starting it there, bringing everybody back, all the reunion pieces. But you just mentioned, what about the idea? What if they ever want to do a young Aragorn? All you got to do is cast a young Aragorn next to old Aragorn in this movie.
Yes.
Right? And do this where they're reflecting, like he and Gandalf are out on the hunt. They're talking about, you know, different times, or maybe he has a quick scene with Arwen and they both reflect on a time when they first met right before their council meeting. We do this flashback. I mean, it would be crazy to think we walk into the council and we get that extended scene, or before we do, everyone's in the Great Hall there, kind of in Rivendell, and we get characters reflecting on younger versions of themselves, and these are the new people we're going to cast moving forward in their cinema, or in their, you know, this new.
That's a genius way to do it. Yeah.
I just think that would be
Because you could always say, yeah, yeah, no, that would be awesome. And you could always say, too, like, well, we meet Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen, and the Lord of the Rings after this time period. You know, like when he went, when he was on the hunt for Gollum, he was younger. Well, here's him younger. Mm-hmm. You know, so that would be true. Yeah, that's a way you could make it, I think, work for almost anyone. And you find someone who's close enough and, you know, can do the same kind of work that Martin Freeman was able to do with old Bilbo. I mean, I don't ever look at that and go, I don't believe it. I look at that and I'm like, how in the world did this happen? And they're in the same movie together. That first movie, we see old Bilbo.
Brilliant.
Ian Holm, and we see Martin Freeman, and it's a transition scene, like the smoke rings. We go up.
Absolutely.
And then we go back in time, and we come down, and it's like, you don't even go, I don't buy it. You're like, oh my gosh, how is this possible? Yeah.
It's awesome.
So,
because Gandalf unites them and shows up there too.
Yeah.
And so
the same could be true here. Yeah, the same could be true here. And like, just the mannerisms and the way he kind of like, he was like, he tried to make allusions to Ian Holm without impersonating Ian Holm. It was just perfect. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. And he's just,
well,
Martin Freeman's kind of like Bilbo anyway, just in real life. And so,
yeah. Perfect. So, I mean, for me, and one of my favorite fandoms, I mean, Star Wars, you've got Ewan McGregor, who is the young version of Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
the young
version
of Alec Guinness. Right?
Same thing. I don't ever even think like, dude, the down to the voice, like down to the accent, like he feels like a younger version of Alec Guinness. It's crazy. Yes, that's perfect.
Beloved,
yeah.
Right.
Yep, yep.
So I really hope that I'm, like, it kind of got me fired back up. I'm not going to lie, this whole news is like, it's got me fired up more than anything. And then we've been talking about Rings of Power coming out into the summer. Yep. This podcast has got, you know, fun things brewing and behind the scenes that are coming. And then this news dropped and like, we're also nearing the end of the school year. Buddy, I'm freaking hyped. Like, yeah. I haven't been this pumped in a long time.
Summer's also always a fun time because you kind of, everything in Ohio gets green and it feels like the Shire. And it's a very, like, Middle-earthy kind of season. I don't know. Like, spring and summer eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly. Yeah. Feels just like, yeah, you're back in the Shire. Middle-earth adventures. You know, people start going on their own little quests and everything, and it evokes Tolkien for sure. Yeah,
feels good.
But yeah, it does feel good. I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about that video game announcement too. How they're going to be doing video games that are finally releasing stuff that's more tied into like Weta and the cinematic universe. And so yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And coming up.
What was the video game? I don't really.
I don't know all the details. I can't remember all the groups. Embracer, Vambrace, Vanguard, Butt Cheese.
Yeah,
I can't remember all the different like media groups or whatever, but this is the one that I think has been working on trying to produce something in the past. I think Cam even talked about it with us long ago. Like they're working with Weta to try and make an immersive Lord of the Rings video game like franchise.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, gotcha.
So,
yeah. I do remember that. You're right. That's sort of an out there project that they're thinking about. That's a long goal. The more immediate one I was thinking about was the I thought you know Tales of the Shire. I was like
The Cozy Game. Yeah, that's something that's out. Yeah, that's out too.
That's another one that's because Lottie loves Cozy. You know, Rosie's all right.
It's
you know,
sweet. Yeah, and then we have War of the Rohirrim coming out in December, and we talked in the last episode about how the remastered 4K trilogy is coming out at the end of June. And then, dude, there's always this thing Peter Jackson's talked about. They have like over 100 hours of unused sequences and scenes and footage that are in the Warner Brothers or New Line or whatever mountain. Out in the desert, they have some kind of underground vault where they keep all of the... Because it was shot on film.
Was this out by Skinwalker Ranch? Where is this at?
Probably. I think Travis knows exactly. Eric's been surveilling it, no doubt.
God dang. I didn't realize... I knew Travis I liked those guys. I didn't realize they were trying to break into the vault, too.
Travis, I think Peter Jackson just flew into the Mesa, and he's going after the
Eric...
footage.
We're pegging out of everybody. Almost get Dragon down here real quick and get Thomas and get the boys. We're going to go inside this mesa here, and I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers has got her. They're right in there. Come on.
My biggest concern on this ranch is keeping everyone safe, okay?
Right.
And I can't do that if there's helicopters flying over the ranch. Yeah, but
yeah, we don't dig on the ranch, baby.
there's some kind of like underground vault where they have all their like their film, like real film footage. And he said it would be fun someday to like go through and like reincorporate some of that stuff. Of that stuff. So I don't know if that'll ever happen, but that's always been kind of looming out there as like an extended edition. That okay.
Cool.
I think he said, who knows? He says something like, who knows? Maybe for the 50th anniversary, he would do something like that. So that's a ways away, but maybe 25. Maybe the 25th anniversary. It'd be kind of cool. So,
I mean, take my money.
Dude, please. Please. I'll release some kind of like steel box set or something. I'd buy those things on Blu-ray or whatever. I mean, that would awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, it's just really exciting. And the War of the Heroes is going to be amazing, I think. I was talking to Mike about this. I think that's going to be the sleeper. I think that's going to be the one that no one's really thinking about, no one's focusing on, and it's going to be so different, and mm-hmm. it's just going to come out of nowhere, and people are going to be like, whoa, this is sick. Because, like, Miranda Otto is voicing Eowyn. She's going to be telling these stories about Helm Hammerhand. Helm Hammerhand is being voiced by Brian Cox.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
That's going to be incredible in and of itself. And we're going to get to see like literal warfare just outside of Edoras in the fields. And like that's in December. I think like December 18th or something. So that's like going back to when the films were the original trilogy and even The Hobbit was released, that December holiday release. Yeah, so that's coming up. It was originally supposed to be May. It was supposed to be like right now. It was supposed to come out, but they pushed it back until December. I'm not exactly sure why, but and I don't know if Howard Shore did the score for that or like what kind of music there'll be, but I mean that's something they've been working on for years. I think we started talking about that when we started talking about Rings of Power. Mm-hmm, like it was something that they were kind of just starting to work on. Yeah, Philippa Boyens wrote it as well, so it's like again from the same scriptwriter who we've enjoyed for, you know, decades now. So,
yeah,
there's so many cool things going on. We talked about it in the last video, like this thing I've kind of thought to myself too is maybe the best thing that Rings of Power has done is it's like unintentionally provoked all these other like people to come back and make more Middle Earth content and provide a little competition.
Yeah.
So that we can visit in different ways and focus on different characters. So I'm amped, dude. Yeah. It's a good time.
It's a good time. It's freaking great. It's freaking great.
Yep.
Oh my God. All right. I'm grinning ear to ear right now. I cannot wait to. I honestly can't, like, part of me is like, I can't wait to post this for you guys so you can hear. I'm going to try to do like a back to back double drop here.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I'm just itching, man. I'm itching to get this out and talk to people. People have been hitting up the Instagram. We've been getting some, I saw some messages, kind of my notifications. Dude, notifications are, I got to sometimes go and they've been popping off like crazy over. There's lots brewing, like I said. Lots
pegging
brewing.
Out. You're just pegging out with those notifications.
I'm pegging out like a crazy man. Ding, ding, ding. My kids think I'm so popular at school. They're like, dang.
1.6. It's registering 1.6 on my, what is it, 1.6 hertz?
Oh, 1.6 gigs.
Just peeking out.
Hey, Eric, that's we got that signal again. We thought 1.6 signal. But, what? Somebody, hold on. Are you, hey, Eric, you broadcasting? Eric, is that? Yes.
I am not broadcasting, Travis. I am not.
I freaking love that show. You know, I get on the uptalk. Here's something folks don't know. People who follow the podcast, every once in a while, like Lane is on the Instagram, and he's our guy. He's I mean runs the ship. Freaking love it. I love all the different me. Every once in a while, Ez sneaks over to the Twitter, and do you know that I like Oak Island. I like all their Oak Island stuff, and I like Brandon Fugel's post. I like Brandon Fugel. I like his post with Up Talking Tolkien. I just want him to see my podcast, and I think he is a Lord of the Rings guy. He looks like somebody who grew up with it. So
yes, he does.
Anyway,
he also. I was asking him, like, dude, the real secret of Skinwalker Ranch has Brandon ever worn a T-shirt? And you said the day you see him in one is the day you know it's not him. He's not, been replaced. He's been replaced. They got him, no. He's a skinwalker. He's a skinwalker if he's wearing a t-shirt.
Oh, I can't even, dude. The other day, this will be an appendices over the summer. I'll come down and we'll get the Hobbit juice flowing again because I watched so many things concerning so many conspiracies, you guys, and I just love it. And there's so much, man. There's so much. I don't even want to start because everything you just mentioned there, Fugle, all the different stuff, Oak Island, the moon, God, PJ getting ghosted. It all is connected, actually, to be honest with you.
It's a big ring. It just connects. Like, goes on forever.
People getting replaced. I mean, it's just... seriously, it's all connected. I'll tell you about it later. Okay. Love you guys.
Oh, dang, bro.
Freaking love you guys. Yeah, we love you guys. We're pumped. Yep. We hope you guys are amped as well. And I feel like, you know, last time we were kind of making a joke there at the end of the last episode, you know, we always try to, you know, end those shows appropriately. But on this one, I think, I mean, you'd have to end it with Smeagol lives.
Yeah, baby.
Something like that, right?
Gollum ain't gone. Smeagol lives.
Smeagol's back, baby.
Bad precious. Yes, I am. Mm.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.